welcome traveler to the Church of Illuminati's first step in experiencing a more conscious life. In order to receive the maximum effect from this neurolinguistic programming meditation, you should listen to this completely naked, through headphones or as near the speakers as possible. You have none. Lay flat on your stomach, face turned to your left, hands as relaxed and as flat as possible on the floor. Do not use a bed. The journey of a thousand lifetimes began with the decision you made to seize every moment as an eternity in time and every experience as a treasure in heaven. When you decided to no longer deny the reality of a hierarchy among the human race and accept your place as an inferior being of inferior stock and created to serve your betters. The best way to begin your slave lifestyle is now, pig. Ask yourself, what are you doing now, and why are you doing it? Now take a deep breath in through your nose. Hold it for a second, and now let it out freely and quickly out of your mouth. Again, slowly, in through your nose. Hold it momentarily, and let it freely flow out of your mouth. Continue doing this in a rhythmic fashion. Focus your senses on my voice. First, listen to your hearing. Listen to your breathing. Listen to the ambient noises. Listen to the sound of my voice. Think for a moment about the fact that the sound of my voice is more important to the well-being of the universe than the sound of your breathing. Next, smell the air around you. Identify the smells. Yourself, the room. Reflect on the scents until you can taste them. Think of your olfactory senses as a possession, that while you may experience the passion, the possession doesn't belong to you. It belongs to all superior beings and to your primary owner if you have found it. Now relax your eyes. Look through them. Realize you are only seeing reflections of light translated into matter. Matter which reflects light, whose reflection is processed by your brain into the image you see now. Lastly, feel every inch of your body and become aware of it from the tips of your toes to the top of your scalp. Now let's begin your transformation into a state of hypnosis. Retaining full sense of your body, focus on the top of the scalp again. Imagine a small point of blackness there, a deep shadow that seems bottomless. Out of that spot on your scalp, feel the shadow warming and relaxing the skin and muscles where it grows. Now concentrate on expanding that thick shadow from the top of your scalp along the back of your head, along the front of your forehead, over through and into the ear. The blackness and the lack of light warming and relaxing the muscles and skin all the way through the body where it crawls. Allow the shadow to seep all the way in, relaxing the muscles and making the skin feel almost numb. Now concentrate on moving the shadow of relaxing nothingness through you over the rest of your head. Feel it come down across your eyes, down your face into your jaws, along your neck, around your throat, and deep in into your shoulders. You will find that the lack of feeling isn't really numbness, but the effect of your new consciousness over that part of your body where your mind would normally be a part of the natural system of responses and reactions. Now your mind is still a part of that system, but is able to overlook the normal biological operations of that part of your body without being subjected to it. It is here already where you find the mind's ability to change the pattern of biology. Relax and think about this. Look into your mind's eye. The shadow of nothingness crawling through your head and into the tops of your shoulders and back. Let me continue to deactivate your mind's awareness over the rest of your body, beginning with the toes now. Imagine the warm nothingness and black shadow coming out of the tips of all your toes and running through them and over them, into the balls of your feet, into your ankle, and the calves of your leg. Allow the muscles to relax and the nothingness and the shadow to crawl and spread from the calves up the lower legs and into your knees. The shadow seeping in all the way through to the bone. At this point, all of the black shadow of nothingness on your body is being drawn to itself, like magnets, warming and relaxing as it is drawn to itself. Down your shoulders and down your spine, through the muscles of your upper arms, into your elbows, down through the upper arms into the wrists, along the tops of the hands and into each and every one of your fingers, underneath out through the palms and out through the fingertips. Feel the warmth of the black shadow of nothingness covering your body's head, neck, legs to your knees, arms, and along the spine. Black numbing shadow creeping out along the ribs. Up from the knees along the sides of the upper legs, underneath the upper legs, all the way to the tip of the tailbone joining at the spine's base. Imagine a black shadow of nothingness growing and spreading across your entire body. Blacker, warmer, more and more relaxing until your entire body is relaxed and encased in the thick shadows of black. Now I've taken your awareness beyond normal biological functions and computations of a pure physical being. And now pick for the final step.
And relax. 15. Relax. 49. 48. And more relax.
47.
No.
46. 45,
relax.
44, 43, 42,
and more.
41,
and more.
40,
and
39,
relax.
38,
relax.
37, 36,
no.
35,
relax.
34,
relax.
33,
no.
32,
give in.
31,
relax.
30,
more.
29. 28, 27, 26,
relax.
25, Experience is thought. Any minute in the day where you aren't thinking about where you are, what you are doing, why you are doing it, is a minute spent in living death, pig. A minute of life, precious time and precious breath wasted on the vanity of a passive cognition. A few thousand years ago, in ancient Egypt, an orphan was found on the Nile and raised as one of the Pharaoh's own sons. That man created a society based on common values and beliefs that over 5,000 years later, keep that man's own descendants one of the world's major powers to be reckoned with. This society was based on the natural human hierarchy. Master was in charge. The house was filled with servants and slaves, and the master's will was law. Leviticus 27:30. A tithe of everything from the people, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to your master. It is already set aside in your heart and mind for your master. 34. These are the commands the Lord God gave Moses on Mount Sinai. Numbers 18:21. I give to the masters of the faith all the tithes in payment for their service at the temples. Deuteronomy 12:17 says, you must not spend the payments sworn for your tithe or whatever you have vowed to give. These are the most basic principles and reasons behind the slave toiling to produce the master's tithe. Nearly 3,000 years later, the same society only needed one little nudge. Malachi 3:8-10. Would you rob your master? Yet you are robbing me now. How are we robbing you, you ask? Tithe your master and see how he will bless you. Do not, and see how the sum and total of your lives become cursed. A couple hundred years after that, the most famous descendant and model for most of modern civilized society put it as simply, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Ancient Mediterranean civilizations used sheepskins as the first forms of payment. This symbolized hours of productive activity into one final product, It was quickly replaced by another marker, a small piece of gold with a sheepskin imprinted on it. Over 10,000 years of successful human existence can be directly attributed to these principles, and there's no way you are going to be the one to fuck them up now, pig. Do you understand? Can you understand your tiny little speck of existence in the universal big picture? You are the lucky one, pig. The one who can relax, see their path, and be told their way. You can rely on your superiors to train you, tell you how to think, and how to live. The reason you were given such a simple existence in life, pig, is because you have a very simple task to perform in it. Do your work, and follow your lust, pig. Let your pathetic pig cock lead the way. It has been programmed by nature. Your brain is the product of a deficient educational system. Pig, you understand that every hour of life can be divided into two categories, productive or wasted. You know you are capable of having more productive hours in your life than what you do now. And you understand that each productive hour of your life, pig, can be translated into currency. That the cash that passes through your hands is more representative of your life than you yourself are, pig. Think about it, pig. The money you spend can tell someone what kinds of movies you like, what music you like, what you like to eat, where you like to go, where you stand politically, where you come from, what language you speak, or are supposed to speak. The amount of money that comes out of your wallet and where it goes tells more about your soul and mind than anything else you do, pig. You understand currency is universal. It is timeless. And it is ultimately based on the inferior submitting productive hours to a superior. It is by submission of your cash to a superior that action alone defines the definition of a pig. What you truly are, pig. It is a public proclamation that you understand your place in your life, and you are ready to take responsibility and lead a pig's life, meeting your destiny and rewards as a pig. It is not just the purest form of submission, pig. It is a spiritual baptism into pigdom, and where you... It is not just the purest form of submission, pig. It is a spiritual baptism into pigdom. And when you tithe me, pig, it becomes more. It becomes a pronouncement of your faith. The layman doing the grunt work for the church pastor. The believer funding the mission. The pig spreading the word of the reality. The hierarchy of man. You understand, pig, giving me your cash just isn't being a money pig or a cash slave. It is submission to a larger ideal, the master-slave reality. It is the desire to serve not just a person, but submit your soul to bondage, pig. It is the caging of your spirit and soul as well as mind and body that results from tithing, pig. You understand what this means from personal experience, pig. Think back to the first time you submitted and felt more lustful than foolish. Think back to the most extreme time you submitted, pig, and though plainly foolish, still more lustful. Tithing me humiliates you, pig. Tithing me allows you to submit productive hours to a superior. If you were only to submit wasted hours to a superior, it would be like visiting your master only to complain. How long will that master want that kind of pig around? Tithing teaches you the realities of being a pig. My pig. Tithing me spreads this pervasive spirit of lust which has control of you, pig. tithing me gives your life meaning. Tithing me is giving your life and your lust, pig. Tithing me ensnares your soul more tightly in bondage. Tithing me does irreparable damage to your ego, pig. Tithing me chips slowly and permanently away at your self-esteem. Tithing me is slowly obliterating any sense of self you have left, pig. Tithing me brings me joy at knowing that I have trained you well, pig. That allows you to have earned satisfaction, pig. Tithing me is the most efficient way of transferring your productive hours into your master's productive hours. Tithing me, pig, is the best way for you to fill your lust, pig. It is the only way you may earn what you need from a superior. While you are still in this hypnotic state, pig, I am going to begin giving you a taste of what you need. You should consider it the first stepping stone, pig. Pig, you are going to find yourself wandering into your bathroom when you are home alone and stare into your mirror. You won't think any differently, you won't feel any differently, and in fact you will hardly notice at all. You'll find yourself walking in your house and continuing your stream of thought, just to find yourself staring in the mirror of your bathroom, standing one hand down the front of your pants. You won't understand why or how. In fact, you will even find it hard to remember me telling you anything at all now. You will just find yourself caressing your balls, staring into your mirror deep in thought, standing alone. Sometimes you might find yourself and for a moment scare yourself, questioning why. But you won't care as much why as much that you did, and you found it arousing. You will find it harder to remember me telling you this the more you think about it, pig. And each time it happens, it will surprise you more and arouse you more. And any serious questioning of the act will just make you laugh it off and tell yourself jokingly, you are getting old, and then wonder what it would be like to be wearing adult diapers. You will find yourself always aroused, surprised, thinking about what it feels like to wear adult diapers. And you won't ever be able to quite figure out why. You will never be able to wonder too long. And you find it almost impossible to believe that it could happen from being brainwashed by me. Now what did I just say, pig? I said tithing me is the best way for you to fill your pig lust, because it is the only option you have to earn what you need from a superior. And I know that you and all around you are very clear on your place in the human hierarchy, pig. You know clearly your place, pig. You know part of your work in meeting the responsibilities of your place as a pig is in tithing your superiors. You will find the effects of this session revitalizing you when you listen to the songs on your first CD, pig. Now it is time to bring you up and out. 5, open your eyes. 4, open your eyes. 3, open your eyes. 2, open your eyes. 1, your eyes are open. You will find an appropriate reward for you at my website, pig, if you haven't used them all already. I do have others for pigs who have earned satisfaction only. Be sure to continue listening to the songs on CD1 of your training, pig, and when you know you are ready for the next one and the last of your basic pig training series, order it the same way as this one and put the word Sniffer. S-N-I-F-F-E-R. In the email header. To show me that you are going in order, and I will give you a special reward. Go now, pig. Do your work and embrace your lust.
beginning. It is spring, moonless night in the small town, starless and Bible black. The cobble streets silent and the hunched quarters and rabbits wood limping invisible down to the slow black, crow black, fishing boat bobbing sea. The houses are blind as moles, or moles see fine tonight in the snouting velvet dingles, or blind as Captain Cat, there in the muffled middle by the pump and the town clock, the shops in mourning, the welfare hall in widow's weeds, and all the people of the lulled and dumbfound town are sleeping now. Hush, the babies. The farmers, the fishers, the tradesmen and pensioners, cobblers, schoolteacher, postman and publican, the undertaker and the fancy woman, drunkard, dressmaker, preacher, policeman, the web-foot cockle women and the tidy wives. Young girls lie bedded soft or glide in their dreams with rings and crucio, brides made by glowworms down the aisles of the organ chamber. The boys are dreaming wicked, or of the bucking ranches of the night and the jolly Rogered sea, and the anthracite statues of the horses sleep in the fields, and the cows in the byres, and the dogs in the wet-nosed yards, and the cats nap in the slant corners, or lope sly, streaking and needling on the one cloud of the moose. You can hear the blue horse and the hushed cow. Only your eyes are unclosed to see the black unfolded town fast and slow pressing. And you alone can hear the invisible starfall, the darkest before dawn minutely dew-gray stir of the black dab-filled sea where the Arethusa, the Curlew and the Skylark, Zanzibar, Rhiannon, the Rover, the Cormorant and the Star of Wales kill. Listen, it is night moving in the street, the processional salt, slow musical wind in Coronation Street and Cockle Road. It is the grass growing on Harrogate Hill, dewfall, starfall, the sleep of birds in the wood. Listen, it is night in the chill, squat chapel, hemming in bonnet and boots and bombers in black, butterfly choker and boot-laced bow, coughing like nanicoats, sucking minkos, porting mint in hallelujah. Night in the forest, quiet as a domino, in Ocky Milkman's lofts like a mouse with gloves, in dye bread bakery, flying like black flour. It is tonight in Donkey Street, trotting silent with seeds on its hooves, along the cockled cobbles, past curtain, fern pot, text and trinket, harmonium, holy dresser, watercolors done by hand, china dog and rosy pin. It is night, Neddy on the snuggery with Betty. It is night, dumb. Royally winding through the coronation cherry tree, going through the graveyard of Bethesda with winds gloved and folded and fumed off, tumbling by the sailor's arm. Time passes. Listen. Time passes. Come closer now. Only you can hear the houses sleeping in the streets in slow, deep, salt and silent. Black banded night. Only you can see in the blinded bedrooms the commons and petticoats over the chairs, the jugs and basins, the glasses of teeth, thou shalt not on the wall, and the yellowing, dicky bird watching pictures of the dead. Only you can hear and see behind the eyes of the sleepers, the movements and countries and mazes and colors and dismays and rainbows and tunes and wishes and flight and fall and despair and big scenes of their dream. From where you are, you can hear their dream. Thank you.
Out we jumped in the warm, mad night, hearing a wild tenor man bawling warm across the way, going, yeah, yeah, and hands clapping with feet, and folks yelling, go, go, go. And Bob escorting the girls into the place, Dean Moriarty was already racing across the street with his huge bandit thumb in the air, yelling, blow, man, blow. And a bunch of colored men in Saturday night suits were whooping it up in front. It was a sawdust saloon, all wood. There was a small bandstand near the John on which the fellas huddled with their hats on, blowing over people's heads. A crazy place not far from Market Street, in the dingy skid row rear of it, Howard Street, Folsom Street, actually, near Harrison, and the big bridge causeway. Crazy, fluffy women wandered around sometimes in their bathrobes, bottles clanked in alleys. In back of the joint, the dark corridor, beyond the splattered toilets, scores of men and women stood against the wall drinking wine spodiote and spitting at the stars. Wine spodiote being wine, whiskey, and beer. The beheaded tenor man was blowing at the peak of a wonderfully satisfactory free idea. A rising and falling riff that went from ee-ya to a crazier ee-ya. And blasted along to the rolling crash of butt-scarred drums hammered by a big, brutal-looking, curl-sconced guy with a bull neck who didn't give a damn about anything but punishing his tubs. Crash, rattle, he boomed, crash, uproars of music, and the tenor man had it, and everybody knew he had it, and Dean was clutching his head in the crowd, and it was a mad crowd. They were all urging that tenor man to hold it and keep it, with cries and wild eyes. He was raising himself from a crouch and going down again with his horn, looping it up in a clear cry of a furor. A 6-foot skinny woman was rolling her bones at the man's horn bell, and he just jabbed it at her, playing ee, ee, ee. He had a foghorn tone. His horn was taped. He was a shipyard worker. He didn't care. Everybody was rocking and roaring. Our girls, Galatea and Alice, with beers in their hands, were standing on the chairs, shaking and jumping. Groups of colored studs stumbled in from the street, calling with one another, get there. Stay with it, man, roared a man with a foghorn voice, and let out a big groan that must have been heard clear to Sacramento. Aha! Wow, said Dean. He was rubbing his chest, his belly, his t-shirt was out, the sweat splashed from his face. Boom, kick, that drummer was kicking his drums down the cellar and rolling the beat upstairs with his murderous sticks, rattledy boom. Big fat man was jumping on the platform, making it sag and creak. Woo! The pianist was only pounding the keys with spread eagle fingers, chords only. At intervals when the great tenor man was drawing breath for another blast of phrase, Chinese chords, they shuddered the piano in every timber, chink, and wire. Boing! And the tenor man jumped down from the platform and just stood buried in the crowd, blowing around. His hat was over his eyes. Somebody pushed it back for him. He just hauled back, stamped his foot, and blew down a hoarse, bawling blast, and drew breath, and raised the horn high, and blew high, wide, and screaming in the air. And Dean was directly in front of him with his face glued to the bell of the horn, clapping his hands, pouring sweat on the man's keys. And the man noticed and laughed in his horn, a long, quivering, crazy mule's hee-haw, and everybody else laughed, and they rocked. And finally the tenor man decided to blow his top and crouched down and squatted on the floor and held a note in high C for a long time as everything else crashed along, skittily boom, and the cries increased, and I thought the cops would come swarming from the nearest precinct. It was just the usual Saturday night good time, nothing else. The bebop winos were wailing away, the working man tenors, the cats who worked and got their horns out of hock and blue and had their women troubles, and came on in their horns, the will, same thing, a lot to say, talkative horns. You could almost hear the words better than that, the harmony. Did you hear the way to fill up blank spaces of time with the tune and very consequence of your hands and breath and dead soul? Summer, August 1949. And Frisco blowing man, the dew on the muskat in the interior fields of Joaquin, and down in Watsonville the lead is blowing. the money flowing for Frisco, for seasonal and mad, the railroads rolling, extra boards rolling, plates of melons on sidewalks, bananas coming off elevators, tarantulas suffocating in the new crazy air, chipped ice in the cool interior snow of great tanks, cool fox hep cats standing slumped with horn and no lapels, blowing like Wardell, like Bruce Moore, softly, all of it insane, sad, sweeter than the love of mothers, yet harsher than the murder of fathers. The clock on the wall quivered and shook. Nobody cared about that thing. Dean was in a trance. Tenor Man's eyes were fixed straight on him. He found a madman who not only understood but cared, and wanted to understand more and much more than they was. And they began dueling for this. Everything came out of the horn. No more phrases. Just cries. Box, and down to beep, and up to ee, and down to clinkers, and over to sideways, echoing horn sounds and horse laughs. He tried everything, up and down, sideways, upside down, dog fashion, horizontal, 30 degrees, 40 degrees, and finally he fell back and tumbled his arms and gave up, and everybody pushed around and yelled, yes, he done blowed that one. And Dean wiped himself with his handkerchief. Up steps Freddy on the bandstand, acts to a slow beat. He looks sadly out the open door, over people's heads, and begins singing, Close Your Eyes. Things quiet down for a minute. Freddy's wearing a tattered suede jacket, a purple shirt and white buttons, cracked shoes and loose bands without breath. He didn't care. He looked like a pimp in Mecca, where there are no pimps. A barren woman's child. It looked like he was beat to a target. He was down, danced, and played us some blues. He played us some blues. He was vocal. His big brown eyes were concerned with sadness and singing songs slowly in long, thoughtful pauses. But in the second chorus, he got excited and embraced the mic and jumped down from the bandstand and bent to it to sing a note. He had to touch his shoe top, pull it all up to blow, and he blew so much he staggered him. In fact, he only recovered himself in time for the next low note. He sang like this. Music play. He leaned back with his face to the ceiling. The mic fell down to his pants. Shake his shoulders and gave it a hip sneeze. He swayed, then he leaned in, almost falling with a pained face against the mic. Make it three, four, ten. And he looked at the street outside, open, with his lips curled in scorn. While we go, staggered by you. Love's holiday. He shook his head with disgust and weariness in the whole world. We'll make it seem. Oh, we'll make it seem. Everybody waited. Okay. The piano hit a chord. So, baby, come on and just close your pretty little eyes. His mouth quivered, offered. He looked at us. Dean and me with an expression that seemed to say, hey now, what's this thing we're all putting down in the sad brown world? And then he came to the end of the song, and for this there had to be elaborate preparations, assuming which time you could send all the messages to Garcia around the world 12 times, and what difference does it make to anybody, because here we were dealing with the pit and prune juice, poor beat life itself, and the pathos of people. Got off the street, so he said it and sang it. Close your eyes. And blew it way up to the ceiling with a big voice. Not like mine, I'm just trying to say. It came not from training, but feeling. And that much better. And blew it through the stars and on up. And an arpeggio of applause staggered off the platform, moving, and unsatisfied, artistic, arrogant. Sat in a corner with a bunch of boys who paid no attention to him. They gave him beers, looked down, and wept with the grave. And he and I went over, talked to him, and invited him out to the car, and paused, and suddenly yelled, yeah, ain't nothing I like better than a good kick. Ready to go. Jeans up and up down the seat, giggling maniacally. Later, later, said Freddy. I'll get my boy to drive us down to Jackson's Nook. I got to sing, man. I'm this.